Father, we thank you for this glorious day you've created. We thank you, Lord, for the ways that you have manifested yourself to each one of us already through the time of worship and the time of hearing your word. But we ask, Holy Spirit, you would sanctify our hearts now, and our hearts and ears, that we might receive what it is that you would say to us today, knowing that it's going to lead us into new places, Lord, that you have set before us. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. I was awakened at 5 this morning. Ready for a nap? No. I couldn't sleep. And usually that's the invitation God gives me to be praying, or he has something to say to me. And so we scrapped the sermon that was prepared, and we'll find out if I heard the Lord or not. You be the judge. Never assume because someone says they've heard the Lord, they've heard the Lord. We have to weigh it and examine it. There's a song that was coming to my mind this morning by the Newsboys, of all things. God's not dead. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God's not dead. Let's say it. God's not dead. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Amen. That's the thing about God. God, we take it for granted, but sometimes we don't see God as being alive. We go through certain things in our life and habits we have, whether it's on Sunday morning or quiet time, and we keep repeating the old, which can be good, but God's not dead. He's alive. And so there's a thing about God. If a person's going to walk with God, they're always going to be moving into new places. You're not going to get moss growing at your feet because if you're following Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father, they're all alive. Amen. You have to move. You have to move. You're going to move. To me, that's part of the story this morning of the visit of the wise men, the Magi. The Magi were in this place. They were, people say, astrologers, a little astronomy. They were scholars. They were a priestly kind of a group. And they had this experience where God showed them the star. God was trying to get their attention. And he got their attention. And so they set out following the star. They traveled, they estimate, either somewhere between 800 and 1,000 miles. It wasn't a quick trip. It took months. It took leaving the familiar, leaving what they had known and experienced, leaving the safety of where they were living and saying, there's a star, there's something happening, and we're going to follow that star. Somehow they knew that a king had been born. And for them, there's this drive that said, we can't stay in Persia where we're living and are comfortable. We have to move forward because our eyes are on the star and what God has done. And we're going to follow and go that place. And we're going to leave everything familiar behind us. We're going to have a risky journey because there are robbers and all sorts of different things that can happen to a person going 800 to 1,000 miles, but they went. They went. God was alive. He wasn't dead. God was alive. And there was something roaring inside these guys that they didn't fully even know what it was, but there was a drive that they were going to pursue and go to the place that God was calling them. In Isaiah, we were reading this at the presence service the other night. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the desert, a way in the sea, and paths in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariots and horses, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness. I will and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Here comes the word to Israel. Israel had been unfaithful, and there was a time that the Lord gave them over to the Babylonians that destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the walls, destroyed the temple. And the Babylonians took them captive and took them back to Babylon. But there's a moment where God says, I'm about to do a new thing. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you to return to Jerusalem, where you will rebuild the walls and rebuild the temple. I'm calling you out, and you're going to move into this new place. But the thing is to know I'm going to provide for you as you go on this journey to this new place. But the thing that God had to do was get Israel to let go of what they had known, to let go of their past, to let go of their guilt, to let go of their shame, to let go of all that had become part, a stronghold in their life, having been slaves for so long. And so God said, I've got this plan. I'm alive. I'm not dead. I have this plan for you, Israel. But in order to enter into the new, you will have to let go of the old. You can't take the old with you. Israel tried to do that at times when they left the Egypt to go to the promised land, and they would look back to the old and say, oh, we had it so much better there. Right. They didn't, but that's what they said, thought. There's always a temptation to go back to the old because that feels safe. That feels more comfortable. It might be hell on earth, but at least it's familiar. And God says, I'm not dead. I'm alive. I'm roaring like a lion in you, calling you into new places that you haven't been before. In 1 Samuel, there's the account of Samuel, a terrible experience Samuel had. Samuel was a prophet and had laid hands on Saul to be king of Israel. Samuel had invested a lot in Saul being king. But Saul fell from grace. He fell terribly. And the Lord said, I'm going to replace him. And so Samuel's in this place of grief. He's grieving. And so the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord, and invite Jesse to the sacrifice. I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you. God had moved on. God had rejected Saul as king. God was saying, I have now a person in mind. I'm going to show you who is truly going to be king, and you're to anoint that person that I show you, which is David. But the Lord had to come to Samuel and say, stop licking your wounds. Stop dwelling on failure. Stop dwelling with anger over things didn't work out. Leave it behind, because I am not dead. I am surely alive. And so the Lord was calling Samuel to leave what was familiar, the pain of the past, and say, I'm going to now move into this new place that the Lord is calling me. God is always on the move. He's on the move in your life and my life. Scripture says his mercies are new every morning. Every day, God is alive. He's alive through Christ and the Holy Spirit in each one of us. He's alive in the life of the church. He's here. He's here. He's alive. He's not dead. He's alive. And he's on the move. But the problem comes because we have to come to a place of saying, Lord, what are you calling me to leave behind? Because I have to leave things behind if I'm going to move forward. The Lord says, don't bring the stuff from behind with you. Oh, you can bring the stuff that I've done in the past to encourage you, but don't dwell on that. Dwell on where the star is moving. Leave what's familiar. Leave what's comfortable. Leave what is even safe. Leave it. Leave the hurts. Leave the shame. Leave the guilt. Having grown up at St. Luke's from high school to now, a lot of years, but when God called Claudia and I to ordain ministry and to seminary, the first year of seminary, we were at Vanderbilt Divinity School. This is being recorded. Okay. So we went faithfully to that place, and we would sit around all the time longing for our experience we had at St. Luke's. It was so good, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all the stuff, and it just felt so dry in Nashville. And we were going to an Episcopal church that was Spirit-filled, St. Bartholomew's, and we thanked the Lord for that church, but it wasn't like St. Luke's. And so we were judging them. You know, that's what you do when you don't get your way, you judge. Forgive us, God. But we were judging that they're not moving with the things of God. And it took us a semester to all of a sudden encounter God in that church in a fresh way that we hadn't expected. It took a semester for us to discover that there were believers all around us, but we just were so stuck trying to recreate or have the old be present again that we got stuck and we didn't see that God was alive. That he didn't die when we left St. Luke's. He was still alive, and he was leading us into ministry, into new experiences with him of worship and growing as disciples. God says we can't bring the old into the new. Israel was always called to remember God's faithfulness and the acts of power and mercy and the way God had always loved Israel, but it was never meant to be something to hold on to try to recreate exactly like it was. Because God was doing a new thing, a new thing. So the Lord says to us, he has new adventures waiting for us as individuals, as a church, as in fellowships, in ministry. He has new things he wants to do. He has new things that he wants to release you and me into in the year ahead, the time ahead. But we have to start and say, Lord, Is there something that I'm holding on to that's keeping me from entering fully into your plan? Now remember, his plan for the Magi was an awesome plan, because it talked about that when the Magi were faithful in following God, the star, and they were led to Bethlehem, that they were overjoyed. There was joy in their lives, in their hearts. And they worshiped. They worshiped with the most valuable things they could think of giving to the Christ child. That's what awaits when we leave stuff behind and move into the new. We're going to encounter God in a way that will blow our minds. We will be filled with joy unspeakable at that moment, and we'll worship like never before. So, Lord, we pray that as we are in this fresh new place, that, Lord, we acknowledge you are not dead. You are very, very alive. We know that. That there are new things you declare. There are new things that you declare for us as individuals, things that you're leading us into and being transformed into being your disciples, reflecting your glory. That awaits each one of us as we enter this year. There are things, Lord, that you're about, that you envision for this church. And we're so grateful for its history and for the ways you've moved in the past in this place. But Lord, it increases our faith, but it doesn't become what an idol that we try to recreate, because you're alive. You're moving in fresh ways. Lord, we pray that you would move in our lives in such a way, again, that if there are things we hold on to that brings us comfort that are not from you, that we would let go. We could let go of vows we've made. We could let go of labels people have put on us. We could let go of our false identities that we sometimes carry. We could let go of broken dreams, of times we've failed, let go of shame, let go of losses, let go of idols, let go of the way it was, that we could lay it all down, Lord, so that we could enter into the new. And we thank you that the new is a way that is solid in Scripture. It's found in Scripture. It's found in things you want to speak to us. Lord, help us each to find the star that you have set before us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm trying to. Yeah, there's some more. Just a quick one. Some of you have heard me tell this story. For those who haven't, I have a friend who's a retired Presbyterian pastor, and he and I get together once a month for coffee at Panera's in Fairlawn, and we had begun a relationship many years ago. He was a pastor of the Presbyterian Church by Holy Spirit when we were over on East Bookdale Avenue, and his family and our family became close friends. And one of the things over the years I came to notice, was a group of people at Panera's. And these people moved tables together, and they were so happy. And they were just enjoying each other. Well, it turns out that my retired friend knew one of these people at the table. And it turned out these were people that went to early mass at a Catholic church nearby, And then they come over to Panera's and hang out. So the next thing that happened, Mark and I became more and more part of their fellowship. And so the last time, or the time before we met, people were coming up to us asking us to pray for them about different things. And then we connected some to a ministry that they really needed for their son. But what I discovered was the Lord was changing the atmosphere at Panera's during this time, like it hadn't been before. It was a new thing. And so for me, I'm looking for revival to look a certain way. And it might look that way eventually, I don't know. But I'm finding revival is happening now. But I have to leave the old images behind, and I have to start reading the room wherever I am and see what God might be calling me into like this. And restaurants just seem to be the place of outreach for me. But there's a plan for each one of us, our neighborhoods, our friends, our neighbors. Who's God putting on your heart? Just to call and take out for coffee, you know, whatever, and see what God starts. Leave the old behind. He's got new things for each one of us. Amen.